So I just wanted everyone to know, since we're in a church, this is a parental advisory, explicit content lecture. There will be some nudity, not mine, and some swearing, and you already heard that, so, you know, good luck. So maybe some discussion of violence. South by Juggalos. The first rule of the Insane Clown Posse lecture is we're not going to talk about the quality of the music. And the reason is it's, first of all, it's your taste. Second of all, if you like the Insane Clown Posse, I'm not going to try and convince you otherwise. And if you don't, I'm probably not going to convince you otherwise either. And if you think it's terrible, I'm just going to guess. Although, you know, someone got converted already. If you think it's terrible, it's even more impressive, the job they've done. So, you know, if you have an awesome product or an awesome band, and I'm going to use all of that interchangeably, or an awesome personal brand if you're a cool person, it's all going to be way easier for you to brand it. But even if... to be the worst band in the world of clown rappers who dress like fucking clowns, you can make millions of dollars. So yeah, if you're not familiar with the Insane Clown Posse, it's these two fellows. The skinny one is Shaggy Too Dope, and the larger one is Violent J. They began as friends growing up in a kind of rough suburb of Detroit. I don't mean that ironically. I think it actually was rough. And they were pretty poor, and they wanted to grow up and be wrestlers. And they got this persona of evil clowns as their wrestler persona. And then they got really into gangster rap, and they decided to do that instead. And so hatchets are really a theme for them. You know, you say these things when you're practicing a lecture, and then you don't realize what you're saying in front of a large group of people. So they often compare their work to Stephen King, to horror films. Violent J is very strongly points out that it's entertainment. And, you know, if you go to a carnival, because carnival is their big theme, if you go to a carnival, there's the Love Canal, and you take your girlfriend there, and that's R&B. And, you know, you go on the Tilt-A-Whirl, maybe that's punk rock. But then you go to the House of Horrors, and that's horrorcore. Or the Insane Clown Posse. So hatchets are a theme. The Hatchet Man is sort of their logo. And they have a bunch of different acts that are in their horrorcore stable. And so they have different hatchet men. They have a hatchet woman. And, you know, because we're in Texas, Boondocks, who is their southern rapper, their Dirty South rapper, it's Boondocks with an X. These are his hatchet men. He raps about the South and rural areas. But you may know them through, they've become most popular recently through Miracles. How many people have seen Miracles? I mean, a lot of you, if you were just here. Has anyone listened to more than 5 songs of the Insane Clown Posse? Oh, yay! Have you ever considered yourself a juggalo, anyone? Yay! I shouldn't have pointed at you. I'm sorry. That's awesome. So you can ask a mean question. Miracles is their song sort of about how nature is awesome, and Violent J seems to say that, like, having kids really made him rediscover through their eyes, and I think people would say that is true. People have children. There's a fucking pelican. But it really caught the attention of people because it's so weird. And it's like clowns saying fuck and then also talking about how nature is awesome. And of course they caught flack because they talked about how magnets work and how they don't know that and how that's anti-science. But I have a master's degree and I have no idea how magnets work. So I don't know. Okay. They've also recently collaborated with Jack White. That brought them a little bit of fame. They did a remix of a Mozart song with Jack White. Okay. And you can see they're blazing the hatchet man there. But you might also know about them from their commercials for the Gathering of the Juggalo, which is an annual event. They've had it for 12 years. For the last few, it's been in Cavin Rock, Illinois, which I live in Chicago. And as a frame of reference, it's a 9-hour drive from Chicago through Kentucky. So it's a huge carnival, of course. You can see some wrestling, they have an independent wrestling league. You can go on a hayride. If a juggalo has wronged you, you can take them to juggalo court. There are bouncy castles. there are bouncy castles, helicopter rides, carnival rides, a midway, a freak show, a Burning Man, but it's a burning clown. You can get a date. There's a wet t-shirt contest. There's lots of ladies with no shirts on. There's a comedy stage and a wrestling stage. And I mean, even if you do not like the Insane Clown Posse, this sounds like a pretty fun time. Like, as an adult, when have you drunkenly been in a bouncy castle? Like, not frequently. So, but the music is pretty good at Gathering of the Juggalo. This is just a very small sampling, and it's people you might not think of, like Andrew W.K., and there's a comedy stage, you know, Tom Green, Brian Posehn, Ice Cube, Ice-T, people with actual, like, rap cred go there. And MC Chris went there, and I follow his Twitter, and when he got asked to go there, he asked his fans, should I go? And most people said no, and he ended up going, and he said it's the most he's ever been paid for a show, and it's the nicest an audience has ever been, and the nicest anyone involved has ever been. So it was the most quality experience. So they treat people well, and you might be wondering, okay, well, these wicked clowns have a festival in the middle of nowhere. Why should we care? Well, someone asked, you know, are they still producing records? They're the best-selling independent band of all time. Yeah, like, let that sink in. Like, better than any, more records, not better necessarily, but more records than any independent band of all time. That's over 20 years, they've sold 23 albums. Over $10 million a year they make. That's a Nightline statistic. They don't release their numbers. Over 100,000 people have attended Gathering of the Juggalo. Yeah, do you have a question? They weren't. Disney released Great Malenko and brought it and took it back within 6 hours of it being released. So the numbers don't count. So the great majority of the Great Malenko albums have sold years afterwards. The Great Malenko has stayed on the charts. It's the longest running hip hop album of all time on Billboard. So I mean, it's actually sold more in this length of time since it was released. More since they got off of Disney, you know, because they were there for 6 hours, than any other album. And the great majority of their albums debut in the Billboard charts. A lot of them have hit number one, and that's all without radio play, as you might imagine, and or any TV appearances, really, until recently. And at a time when CD sales really have gone way down, their CD sales are actually up. And they have more fans now than they did in a time like the 90s when I had heard of them, I guess. When I think people think of their heyday. And they control all of their stuff. They have two record labels, which they release a stable of like about 12 bands on. They have their own energy drink. They have, you know, of course, their albums. They do all their merchandise in-house in Detroit, in their hometown in Farmington Hills. They make all of it in America with no sweatshops. They have a line of comic books. They have a video studio where they make both music videos and their own feature films. This is still from Big Money Hustlers, which is a Western. Oh, I'm sorry, this is for Big Money Hustlers. Big Money Hustlers is their other film. They also run an independent wrestling league, which is like the largest outside of, you know, like the big major wrestling leagues. And they get a lot of old wrestlers like Colt Cabana and stuff to wrestle for them. And they make sports videos. They have a huge wrestling video organization. And they do a radio station with podcasts. So they really control all of their output. And, you know, if I were to tell you, you know, who's the bestseller among independent artists who does, you know, controls all their work and hates sweatshops and does everything local for the people in their hometown, you might say, you know, oh, Ani DeFranco or like Pearl Jam. But in fact, it is the Insane Clown Posse, and they're making a ton of, you know, $10 million a year isn't anything to laugh at. And, you know, I think we think of them as this extreme niche band, but that's some niche. And I think if there's an example they can teach us, it's that, you know, if you really go for your niche, you can make a ton of money. I mean, I think people always try and go for the largest group of people that will like them. But if you get a few people who love your stuff so much, they will equal that amount. So from here on out, the term juggalo is not to be used as juggalo, a fan of the Insane Clown Posse. It's a juggalo for any brand, an extreme fan of your brand. How do you make a juggalo for Coke or Pepsi or whatever. The first lesson is to stand for something extremely specific and something that's obvious by looking at you. You look at the Insane Clown Posse, you can gather what they're about. They usually are holding hatchets, right? And they have their face painted like clowns, so you know, you get a little bit of an idea. But whether you're in it for that horrorcore aspect, that fun entertainment carnival thing that I talked about with that Violent J says, or if you're into it because of their actual message, I mean, what they say, yes, they kill a ton of people in their albums, but Violent J says, you know, everybody we kill is either a racist bigot, or there's somebody who beats their wife, or they're a drunk. That's who we kill. We're like vigilante superheroes. And I don't justify my lyrics. We're plain fun. So, I mean, they're really against bigotry and also wife-beating, etc. Violent J, in his book, Behind the Paint, talks about, I mean, his stepdad molested all of his siblings and himself. So they're very against rape and murder and, you know, anything that you would think of with gangster, that is a traditional gangster rap idea. So everyone in their songs who gets injured is sort of a bad guy. Shaggy Too Dope said, if you're a juggalo, you ain't one of the cool kids in your high school. If you are, so the fuck what? If you're into that, you shouldn't be looking down on other people. So, you know, the idea that you're a weirdo, if you were here while we watched Homies, that's sort of the context of that song. They stand for being the person who isn't in a big group. And I use this photo not just because of this woman's breasts, but because this photo came around just recently, a few months ago, and the big question around it was, why is this woman a juggalo, right? Like, this girl could be popular in her high school just based on how she looks, I'm guessing. You know, she could be a cheerleader, she could be an average high school girl, but instead she's chosen to get topless in the middle of nowhere in Illinois and paint clown faces on her boobs. So, like, what's in it for her, right? Like, why is she basically downgrading herself to do this, right? You should make something that's not for everyone. Dressing like a fucking clown and rapping about violence is not for everyone. It's for a very specific group of people. And, yeah, I think this is a really hard lesson for people to learn because you want everyone to like your thing. But you should really make something that not everyone will like and talk about how different it is all of the time. That is what the Insane Clown Posse does. They want you to know how different they are continuously. That is their main focus. And in an interview in Vice, one of the jugglers said that there are very few casual fans of the Insane Clown Posse. That might be 5 to 10% of their overall fan base. So yeah, if you get everyone that as your fan, who's 1% of the time your fan, so Michael Jackson, let's say, you're going to make a ton of money. But if you get 1% of the people who spend 100% of their time identifying themselves as your brand, you're also going to make a ton of money. The Insane Clown Posse does a really great job of making people feel different. Everyone sort of wants to feel a little bit different. A great example is parrot heads. And I think Jimmy Buffett has done a lot of the same stuff, right? If you listen to interviews with parrot heads, I listened to a specific one at a Boston concert. They said, you know, 364 days a year, I'm a normal guy who works at a desk. And then one day a year, I get to show my true self. And that's being a parrot head. And I get to, you know, wear this coconut bra and hang out with my bros. And like, you know, they want to feel like they're themselves at your thing. And no one wants to be the average guy. Like, no one wants, even if you work, you're a middle manager and you work at, you know, Insurance Co., you want to know, you're going to think about that one day where you get to go out and be this crazy guy. And, I mean, I think South by Southwest is another great example. You know, you're a developer and you're not like all those other ones. You come to South by Southwest. You're cool. You know all these people now from South by Southwest. I mean, I think a lot, any group that will separate you from the whole people will do this. And I don't really see how being a parrot head is very different from this, you know. Once a year, I put on my clown makeup, get away from the kids, and grill some brats and drink some paps. Same thing. You want to be different, but you don't want to be all by yourself. You want to be part of something. I think this is kind of what, you know, being an Elks member or a Shriner was back in the day. But now you can do it on the internet, right? And so you know, you're the one juggalo in your high school in the middle of nowhere, you can find the other juggalo in the town over. And Gathering of the Juggalo is obviously how, you know, how they really get people to believe in a community. But there are other businesses that might be more close to your heart that do this. Dogfish Head, their big saying is they're off-centered ales for off-centered people. Their food is even off-centered. They have an off-centered homebrew competition, a film festival. They're weird. They want you to know they're weird. And, you know, it is their strength. Their beer is weird compared to other beers. But that's why people buy into that. They say, you know, I'm not a Miller Lite person. I drink Pangea. It's awesome and extreme, you know? I mean, I love Dogfish Head. I'm not, you know. But it, you want to be different and part of a community that's different. If you can find an enemy, that will do more than anything to get you money. ICP calls themselves the world's most hated band, but Spin has used that as well. They hate corporations, they hate TRL, they hate MTV in general, Eminem, the mainstream, Disney, for reasons that we discussed a little bit earlier, and just normal people. Because they do see this idea that they're really oppressed and everyone hates them. And it's true, though. you can spend about 3 seconds Googling to figure out that people really hate juggalos. There's like juggalo Holocaust sites. Like, I mean, really hate them. Like in a way that's like, what did juggalos fuck your girlfriend? Like, what happened? I don't know. I just like chill. They're just doing their thing. But people really hate them. A more palatable company that's done this is Apple, not just in this, but in the Think Different campaign in 1984. Think Different is not about a computer you buy, but Think Different, even though I, again, buy into this brand like nobody's business, Think Different is about how you're different and everyone else is a normal who uses a PC. They're your enemy, right? The I'm with Coco campaign, I think, is a great example of this. Before it, I think you might have talked to anyone who was in it and said, do you like Conan O'Brien? And they would have said, he's okay, you know, when I get a chance, I watch him on TV, but, you know, not every day. But a week later, when he's fighting with Jay Leno, you're making propaganda art about him. Like, that's crazy. Like, I think that really strengthened his career. Having that enemy made people gather around him. Haters reinforce your community because, you know, first of all, they have all this hatred, and so you're all gathered together, but it also gets the word out, right? Like, how many of you had heard of magnets before you got here, right? And so because of it, it just spreads the word, and it allows you to tell your community how underground and different and weird you are. It just reinforces that. I do love the dummies guy with the face paint. He's awesome. I mean, this has been parodied more like 3 times on Saturday Night Live, not just Miracles, but the other stuff, and tons of TV shows. And it just brought a broader audience. Like a year, 2 years ago, most people who read Gawker probably had either heard of the Insane Clown Posse 20 years ago or hadn't really ever heard of them or knew what they were about. But now they like breathlessly write articles about them all of the time. And the thing I think that the Insane Clown Posse gets more than most brands is that if you can get people to buy into your community, if you can make an awesome lifestyle for someone, before you can sell them any product in the world. There's a documentary called American Juggalo, and a guy in it says, I don't care if you've been down 1 day or 10 years, you're all the same to me, you're my family. And family is definitely the term they use in the juggalo culture. It's a lifestyle, it ain't a music choice, it's a lifestyle. Why am I a juggalo? Because that's how I was born. Okay, if you look at the two of those and replace like juggalo with gay, it's exactly the same thing that these people are saying. Like, this is how I was born. This is who I am. I identify myself through this community. If you identify yourself through this community, you'll buy whatever they sell you. I'm not saying that about gay people in general, but I do think that definitely, if you look at any issue of The Advocate, that's exactly how advertisements are sold. Is, you know, you identify with this lifestyle, so let's sell you through the lifestyle. And that's exactly what juggalos are doing. They talk to a straight edge juggalo, which is kind of odd. At the Gathering of the Juggalo, it's an extreme drug event. And he says, I don't come here for the parties. I don't come here for the music or the rides. I come here for the family. And everybody just accepts who I am and what I do, which is not doing drugs. And I love it a lot, and I couldn't ask for a better lifestyle. If you replace that with whatever you're selling, your website, your forum, your product, it doesn't matter what you sell, really. If you can get people to have an awesome life because of you, they'll buy whatever you want. There's tons and tons of Juggalo for Life tattoos and Juggalo family tattoos, which you'll see more of. I'll tell you for real about being a fucking Juggalo. That shit made me the motherfucker I am today. I grew up to be a fucking decent, fucking good-hearted, good-natured motherfucker. Juggalos raised this man, and he's a good person. And he talks about how he can cook really well now because of Juggalos, and I don't know how that connects. But like, basically, you know, I mean, if you think of, like, Metafilter is a great, I think, a great community that is an example of this, like, oh, I learned all these things because all my MeFi friends told, you know, I asked MeFi and they told me. Like, there are so many, if you can get a group of people to teach another person something, again, this is not about music anymore. This is about, like, this guy and his friends. And, you know, how do you build a community like that? Well, I think the Insane Clown Posse does that by teaching people to take care of each other in the community, teaching them that they are family. I always have a home and in my Juggalo family. It's a little army hatchet man, except he's got a gun. Together. So we listened to Homies a little bit earlier, and basically the whole video and song is about how other Juggalos are your friends and they're your family. And no matter if you live in Cleveland and they live in Australia, your family, and if, you know, they're broken down on the road, you help them. You know, who was you with when you got tattoos? Who was you tripping with when you did them mushrooms? Who the fuck threw up all over your car and then felt worse about it than you, that shit in the morning? And I think the specific line in here to talk about is, we worldwide, we homies around the planet. So yeah, that idea that it's not just your friends, like your friends are your family, which I think anyone in most communities would buy pretty easily. But the idea that, you know, no, if you listen to the Insane Clown Posse or any psychopathic artist, no matter where you live, that person's your family member because you all believe the same shit. And the video, which some of you saw, is all about these Juggalos being basically persecuted in their day-to-day lives. You know, like this girl goes to high school and someone puts her in a trash can, but she's listening to the Insane Clown Posse and she knows these people are with her. Her homies are with her no matter where she's at. So that idea, if you can, you know, if you're persecuted wherever you are, which everyone in some way feels some sort of persecution, if you know that there are people who connect with you, people who are behind you, a community, a family, and this is Violent J's son, Violent JJ, who now raps and sells albums on their label. So it really is family. I mean, they really, I think any other gangster rapper is really not going to advertise how awesome having children is, but Violent J talks about it all the time. And I think it's just another extension of teaching your community to take care of each other, that we're a family. So this is a picture of Lars Ulrich. I think a lot of brands really, really, really want to control everything that goes out about them. And so if someone uses their imagery in a way they don't like, or someone uses a snippet of their song or their whatever, they bust them. And that's not a real good way to build a community around people who are just super psyched to listen to whatever you have or look at your site. And a great example of this is Bronies and My Little Pony. So My Little Pony is a show for those. Is anyone a brony? Oh, someone will admit to being a Juggalo, but no one will admit to being a brony. That's sad. So My Little Pony, there was a reboot of the My Little Pony series. It's animated. It's in this sort of anime style. And people from 4chan, which is, if you don't know what 4chan is, I don't know how to describe that. Dicks? Okay, internet dicks. Internet trolls and griefers and dicks. They were like, let's go watch My Little Pony and make fun of it and make a lot of art about how it's stupid. And then they all fell in love with it, and now they call themselves bronies. And so at first they were all like not happy about My Little Pony, but now they're all like, yay, rainbows. And this is like their saying, I'm going to tolerate and love the shit out of you. They were so annoying that 4chan, they basically 4chan'd 4chan. And, you know, My Little Pony is aimed at children, like little girls who love ponies. And I don't think that this is probably the way they wanted their brand to go. And they could have, they really, really, really had a right to be like, hey, yeah, stop making, like, lolcats with the ponies. But they didn't. And because of it, I've seen the show, first of all. And because of it, lots and lots of adults watch the show. And it's actually just done more to put out the word about their show than if they just took advantage of controlling their brand. Your users, your juggalos, can say what you can't say. If you have an iPhone, you've listened to an Android person talk about how awesome the Android is and how your iPhone sucks. And Android people love to talk about this. This is my opinion as an iPhone user. I'm sure Android users say the same thing about iPhone users. But they're never going to, Android isn't going to come out. I went to their Android house, and they're not going to say, you know, let's all piss on iPhones. But your users can say that, right? Like, your users can make little Calvin and Hobbes, you know, the traditional Ford and Chevy peeing things. I don't know why they always involve peeing, but you know, the Android eating the apple. They can say things you don't want to say, and a lot of times you legally can't say that. At a gathering of the Juggalo, Tila Tequila appeared. If you don't know Tila Tequila, she is for a living, she is a fame whore, and she is a famous for being on MySpace. I don't know. So. She came and she has an album and she played, and part of the thing at Gathering of the Juggalo is that people throw things at you, kind of in a Ted Nugent concert style. And people throw things at her and, you know, they didn't like her. She does not connect with that audience, which I don't think is shocking. But Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope couldn't say, like, she's a dumb bitch, which is, I'm sure, what they wanted to say. I can't speak for them. But the fans said, you know, her intentions were impure. She's a fake juggalo. She doesn't respect our community. That's why we attacked her, basically. Legally, I'm sure they, part of her contract was actually that she couldn't sue them. So get good lawyers is probably also a good tip. But they actually, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope asked her not to appear, because they thought it was going to be too violent. And she chose to appear anyway because she said, I'm not a bitch. So they heard that this was going to happen, and they advised her not to, but she came on and did her sort of, like, what has been described by juggalos, like, fake rap act where she lip-synced, and they attacked her. And so most brands would have to go out and police their community and say, like, that's not what happened. It wasn't that bad. But the Insane Clown Posse doesn't need to make a statement. Like, they have their fans already saying, this is the reason why this happened, and it's totally a good reason. You should give your fans places to meet. Obviously, the Insane Clown Posse has the Gathering of the Juggalo, but they have also a lot of local events. They intentionally lose money on Gathering of the Juggalo because they just want it to make it the most awesome yet affordable thing to get people to come, because they know if they can get people to come there, they can sell them tons and tons and tons of stuff. This year, I guess, is the lowest amount they've ever overspent, which was $15,000. So for 50, and they said, I mean, they've said on in interviews, for $15,000, that's the best money we've ever spent, you know, because you can get people to build that community, hang out, just like coming here, you know, all these people go to their community, hang out, meet people from all over the country or the world, and now they have this awesome family and idea of who this band is, and they're going to buy tons of merchandise. This picture is from Dark Lord Day, which is a beer community event in Munster, Indiana, and it used to be about buying a specific beer that's very hard to find, but now it's actually about going there and trading beers with cool beer people. And you bring beers from, like, your location that they can't get in their location, and you trade. And I have several beer examples, and it's because the beer community does this really well. And it's not really a surprise, because the first logo that was trademarked was Bass Beer. They've been doing this for a lot longer than I think a lot of other brands, building a community around, you know, all of us Miller Lite drinkers do this. And all, I mean, even at the big level, I think selling beer is about a lot about lifestyle, and it's a lot about community. It's about, you know, when I go out and drink with my friends, we have fun. So giving people places to meet around your brand will sell them anything you want. Be one of them. So I could not avoid this slide. Everyone involved in the Insane Clown Posse talks about how the fans are them. They're the same people. That's how they grew up. They're exactly the same people. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about sincerity, but I think this is really key. It's about knowing that, you know, I think in indie rock and in a lot of brands, things like high-end brands, you know, it's all aspirational. It's really, I'm a rock star. I'm not like you. I do all these awesome parties. That is not what the Insane Clown Posse is about. They are, at Gathering of the Juggalo, they're accessible. They talk to everyone. They make sure every single person gets to meet them if they want to. They'll take pictures with anyone. They emphasize, I mean, when confronted and asked about how much money they make, they really do not want to be seen as people who make $10 million a year. They really, I mean, and they'll say, like, I have enough money to buy my mom a house. That's about it, you know. They want to be seen as at the same level as their fans. And they let the fans run that community. I think the key point on this is the difference between having a street team and having organized parties that you lead versus letting people organize themselves. And obviously, I think a lot of brands find a sneaky way to help communities organize themselves, and I think that's fine. But, I mean, think about it yourself. If you got told to put up flyers for your favorite band from a faceless email from a corporation that owns, you know, that distributes your favorite band, versus five of your friends who you met at a concert are like, hey, we're just going to go put up some flyers. Obviously, you're going to do the latter one. You know, the idea that the band isn't telling you to do things, it's more of a self-involved community. And I mean, I think this is also, you know, not coming from you. It goes back to that idea of not squashing what the community puts in themselves. So if the community starts something, don't overrun it to build your own forum. Like a lot of times, you know, people will make an official forum and say, like, oh, get rid of that fake forum that was super popular, that was not sanctioned, right? A great example of this is Malort. Who's drunk Malort? I'm sorry. Malort is the worst thing you will ever put in your mouth. Malort is a terrible beverage that is a liqueur. There used to be many types of this liqueur. It's a Swedish liqueur. It was made by the Chicagoan Swedish community, and Malort is the only one that survived. I don't know how. It's terrible. It is compared often to a tire fire. But it's now the hip beverage to drink, right? So, like, when I looked up photos of it, the first photo I could find is from the Fatty Crab in Brooklyn. I don't think that they even distribute there. Like, I don't know why they have Malort at the Fatty Crab. John Hodgman is known as a fan of Malort, but Malort did not pay him to be. And there's this whole community around the idea of Malort face, that the face you make when you drink Malort. And it's this. It's existential sadness. I mean, like, this man is, it's like, this is the worst thing that's, like, if you told this man that his parents had died, like, I feel like this is the face that he would make. If Malort came out and was like, we have a terrible beverage, you won't want to drink it, they would not sell anything, right? But because this upswell of people daring each other to drink Malort, it's now replaced in a lot of bars, Jameson as the main shot that you give people. I mean, it used to be like something you would trick people into drinking. And now it's like the cool thing that bartenders drink, right? Because they're badass and they drink Malort. And I don't even know if Malort has any idea that this is happening. They're just like confused, like, why are people buying Malort all of a sudden? But I mean, in the same way, I think Pabst has done the same thing. Like, Pabst became cool because they don't do advertisements. They you know, stopped advertising in 1854 or whatever it says on their can. So, I mean, I think this idea that the community makes it popular, that it's not you, is one thing. Have a mythology. As anyone who can tell you that, who went through that entire law series, that, you know, you will hang on till the end to see what happens with the polar bear. even though it sucks, right? Like those seasons, you're like, what's going on? But you have to be there because you want to know what the fucking polar bear is about, right? Insane Clown Posse totally does this awesome. Violent J said that a ghost came to him and told him that they would make 6 albums, and at the end of the 6th, the world would end. And so they call them the Joker cards, and each one has a theme. They're all concept albums, by the way. The first 6-7 albums of the Insane Clown Posse are all concept albums that involve heaven and hell and how to get to heaven, etc. But you didn't know that. So at the end, they have a 2-album set at the end that is, one is about heaven and one is about hell. And it turns out the Dark Carnival is all about God and how you should find him, which is why it's appropriate we're in a church right now, by the way. And this actually angered a lot of juggalos. They're like, what? It's not about God? What? The Dark Carnival? And they even say on this track, we're not sorry if we tricked you. So, and when interviewed, they say they're not religious, but they do believe in God, and they do think that all people should try to go to heaven, and they want to see each other in heaven. So, but this mythology, and almost any mythology is going to end in a way that's sort of disappointing, but as long as you keep this mythology up, people need to buy that next album. They need to look at the next thing. And all their albums, as we were talking earlier about how people actually buy their physical CDs, all the CDs have something in them that contributes to this mythology, so they have to collect it, kind of like a treasure hunt. The Insane Clown Posse piggybacked onto an established brand, and that is a really easy way to find a community that already enjoys that brand, but also sort of define who you are. Faygo is a soda that is from Michigan that is sort of down brand. It's the generic. And they think, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope think of themselves as scrubs. They happily identify as scrubs. And so the idea that they associated with Faygo as opposed to Pepsi or Coke. And they've frequently said, you know, we don't want Pepsi coming to Gathering of the Juggalo. We want to stay true to our roots. We come from this group of people that's sort of downtrodden and poor and from an inner city. And basically by buying into Faygo, they identified their niche. You know, they identified that they're not for people who buy Pepsi. That's what Britney Spears is for, right? It's so ingrained in their brand that there's many of these tattoos. People get these tattoos, and Faygo does not identify with the Insane Clown Posse at all. If you call them an ass, they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. But no doubt, Faygo is only allowed because of the Insane Clown Posse. Like they have semis full of Faygo when they go on tour because they throw it on all of their fans. Require a physical cue. So this move, I'm going to do it. It's the Wicked Clown move. So they're Wicked Clowns. This is their gang sign. And also, obviously, painting your face is a physical cue, and wearing Psychopathic Records items is a physical cue. Again, it's this whole idea that, you know, if you're in the middle of Nebraska and your car breaks down, and another guy in clown makeup walks by, you know that guy and you are going to be talking, right? Like, I think Harley owners do this. You know, even if you're not on your Harley and you have your Harley jacket on, you know that other guy's a Harley owner. The crucifixes around your neck do this as well. The Jeep wave is a good example of this. So if I own a Jeep and you own a Jeep, is anyone a Jeep owner? Do they Jeep wave? Does anyone Jeep wave? No, you all hate the Jeep. Oh, you Jeep wave, yay. Yeah, my brother bought a Jeep, and he was like, people keep waving at me. It's really weird. but it turns out it's a thing. Now, obviously, like, if you have a Jeep and you see another Jeep, you know where you're both Jeep owners. To me, the idea that you would have anything in common with another Jeep owner is bizarre. But they have all these rules around who waves first and what kind of wave. And some people like to do the wave through the sunroof. And I mean, it's a community around this, like, one bizarre thing that people at jeepwave.com or whatever started. But yeah, it builds this community around, you know, do Toyota owners do something to each other? No. Like, but why? Well, I don't think Hummer owners do anything to each other, even though that's, like, a really obvious sign of, like, I'm buying into this brand, right? yeah, the idea of what they could be doing to one another is... So a great example of visual cues is merchandise. And it's, you know, obviously where people are making their money nowadays. Touring and merchandise are where most bands make all of their money. And Psychopathic has done a great job in that they sell all their own stuff. They make all the profit. These are masks of Violent J and Shaggy Too Dope, which I find funny because you could just paint your face. But they have tons and tons of t-shirts that are so limited edition that there's a secondary t-shirt trading community. They sell everything, tons of stuff for babies, anything you could possibly imagine. There's coffins, actually. And so, if you can get people to have to identify physically to see who's in their community, and you sell a bunch of those things that will identify them, you're going to make a ton of money. Okay, now there's two hard ones. Be sincere. If you were not sincere about being a violent clown who loves everybody and is really into nature and community, I think it would be pretty obvious. Like, I think if they were in it for the money, it would be pretty obvious. Like, I'm sure they're not too sorry about the money, but every day, I think, to build for 20 years a community around clown music, you really have to be sincere, you know? And I think being able to sell whatever it is, even no matter how weird it is, people can tell when you're not sincere. Oh, hard work. That sucks. So like I said, they worked for 20 years. And recently on Adam Carolla, Violent J said, every day we don't stop. You have to keep banging on those pots and pans. If you don't, you won't have their attention. They'll stop looking at you. If you're not making no noise, you better keep their attention. And then when you got their attention, you better stand up and fucking dance. Better believe to the right of you and to the left of you, there's guys dancing all over the place. If you want it, it's right there. If you want to get to that top of that mountain, you can slowly but surely start walking that motherfucker. It may suck. That's how you make it. Your destiny is in your hands. So I think part of this is a little self-actualization, like Joel Osteen business. But, and I think that is definitely what they sell their community, the idea that, you can do anything you want with the help of this family, and you just have to work at it. But the idea that I think a lot of bands are in it, and whether they're sincere or not, are in it for because they're tied to large record labels, are in it for short success, right? At least they think that short success is what will guarantee long success. And I think the fact that the ICP has been doing these things year after year after year, building that community, you know, I mean, it's very similar to any sort of religion. I think, the whole idea that your community builds it for you, and they're the members of who get people in. I mean, it's totally parallel to the idea of like the Mormon church. The idea that like, you know, you go door to door and you sit with people and you talk to them about this and you become their friend and you help them out. And you go to a church in a community, you move to a new place. And the reason why a lot of those non-denominational, and this is not to belittle their faith, I think like, it doesn't matter what it's about in this case. The idea that you move to a new community, you go to the local church, and they, you know, help you move in, and they'll take care of your kids so you can go out with your husband or wife. And they, you know, will show you all the good places in town, and they help you adopt a dog. Well, whether or not you believe in that church, you're now going to start going there because you have a community. And it's exactly the same thing. And being there at every step of the way. Oh, you had a new baby? Here's some awesome Psychopathic wear. I mean, they're really cute, right? Like, you're going to buy your friend's new baby a t-shirt. Or like, hey, something's going wrong with your life? Oh, well, your Juggalo friends are going to help out. And, you know, ICP could hire 50 web developers and make 50 awesome websites about how great they are, but instead they have 50 fans who can do that for them already. You know, and they have fans who will start, there's like 5 sites that are about being Christian and being a Juggalo. There's tons of sites about being gay and being a Juggalo. There's tons of sites about being a furry and being a Juggalo. any sort of idea you can, any sort of specific area you can niche. You know, if you thought Juggalo was specific, like there are some specific Juggalo groups, and they're willing to do that hard work to like foster that community. And I think another thing is that they get to, as much as they're willing to take any sort of criticism about their stuff, they are even more defensive of their fans. You can diss on the ICP as much as you want, but when you start to diss on their fans, they get a little angry. The Upright Citizens Brigade Theater recently was going to do a thing mocking a Juggalo funeral for a child. Yeah, it sounds a little wrong when you say it, but I think they thought it was funny because it is a fun. I mean, if you look it up, it's crazy. The Juggalo funeral, it is. But it's the only thing that ICP has gone into and said, hey, wait, we're actually going to get lawyers involved in this. Because it's not about them. You can mock them as much as you want. It just reinforces their community. But the idea that you're fucking with their fans and their community, they know that's their bread and butter. So this is the summary slide. Believe in something that's not like what other people believe in and emphasize how weird it is to alienate some people. Make a community that people want to join and give them free rein to do whatever they want with your stuff. Have a mythology that people have to see to know about, preferably when they bought from you, and do it every fucking day. If you'd like to talk more about Juggalos, there's a question and answer mic. Also, I talk about Juggalos on my website, often about their theology, and I'll be around for a while, and you can tweet with each other on South by Juggalos. So, thank you, homies. Best question gets a lightsaber. Lightsaber's up, so if you want to bring your kid a lightsaber, I won't even check that you have a kid. Yes? I mean, they have a pretty small company, and it's very locally focused. I think the thing that the person that you most want to know about in that case is their producer. Mikey Clark is their producer, and he's awesome. He's produced like a ton of other acts in all sorts of different genres, and he does a lot of Detroit stuff, so he's produced some Kid Rock. And I don't know if he's produced Eminem. But anyway, I think he's done some stuff with the White Stripes. But so he is good at every genre. He's an awesome producer, and he really adds, like, they don't take themselves seriously, and I think that's one thing that's really great. And so he just adds, he's like, they consider him a third member of the band, and he comes up with those ideas as well. They have a manager. I think their PR is very reactive in that, you know, if Vice talks about them, they'll pimp that on their website. But if you go to their website and look at their publicity, they don't really link to any of the stuff that's, you know, that I would say people in this room would have heard about them. They really emphasize how they don't answer to anyone, and I don't think that's lip service. Like, that's their main reason for being independent, is that, you know, when they weren't independent, people used to tell them, like, well, you can't talk about bitches that much or whatever. You can't be that violent. And that made them less successful. So I would say they have a pretty hands-off management system. Sure. So they were huge in Detroit, and I think Detroit is an obvious place for them in that Halloween is like the biggest holiday ever in Detroit. I don't know if you don't know that. So they did a ton of stuff surrounding that. I think that period of time also was very successful. I mean, if you're just thinking of Rob Zombie, also in that period of time, horror sort of things were very popular. I think the mythology thing is part of that. I think the idea that they built this story into it, but even locally, they would have people meet up, they would have events, and they would get kicked out of places. They would have that enemy. I think on a local scale, they did pretty much the same thing, where, you know, they got people together who were not very rich, and they had them hang out, and they created bonds of friendship between these people. I think if you actually listen to the music, I think now it's been sort of, oh, it's so bad. But it's actually, like, pretty similar to most other gangster rap. I don't think it's that different. I think their music isn't of such bad quality that it's not the music.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm just wondering, I came across Juggalo Book a couple of days ago, which, if anyone's not familiar, they basically, there's a Facebook for Juggalos, where you don't like things, you whoop things.
I'm Jenny on Juggalo Book.
Oh,
I got
okay.
Jenny, which I was very psyched about.
I was wondering. I haven't signed up myself. But I was wondering if you know there's anything hilarious or amazing you've seen that you wanted to chat about.
I think it's really in its infancy. I honestly can't, and I do user experience for a living, and I can't understand how to put a photo on Juggalo Book for the life of me. I don't know what. I don't think it's really adopted by Juggalos yet. I think they'll join it, but it's just sort of one of those. I don't know. I mean, I think there's enough small. I think the community as a whole likes to get to those physical events together, but it is so diverse. It is that, like, well, I'm going to hang out at this forum for furry juggalos. I'm sure people will join it, and I'm sure it seems like all of the chat windows are all about, like, hooking up with people. So I think it's like juggalo dating. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, I mean, people don't know who I am because they don't physically know what I look like. But my interest in Juggalo started as writing on my blog, and Juggalos found that, and you know, because they like search for Juggalo things everywhere, and they have all these forums where they talk about everyone who's talking about Juggalos, and so they started talking about me in a forum, and I only know this because I have like a Google search for my website. And half of them were like, she's dissing on Juggalos. And the other half were like, no, I think she actually likes us. So there was this weird discussion. And so then they came over and commented. And it was by far the thing that's been most commented on my blog. And they started to hang out. Like, they started to meet people who lived in their area in my comments. So, like, oddly, I created a Juggalo community. I don't know. I didn't mean to. But, yeah, so they just self-organized, those Juggalos. And even like on the way here, so the Austin Chronicle put up a photo of some Juggalos and announced my speech day, and one of the Juggalos in the photo emailed me and was like, "Hey, I hear you're doing this thing about Juggalos." So most of it has been pretty positive. I do more religious talks about the Juggalos. In the Boston Phoenix, there was an article about me in the religion side of it. And a lot of Juggalos did not like that because they don't consider themselves religious. But I think as long as you specify, like, everyone who's a Juggalo doesn't do this. And I think they're so used to being broadly categorized that the idea that someone's actually thinking about something positive, even the most minor positive thing, they seem pretty thumbs up about. Yes. The Grateful Dead's on the radio, though, right? I mean, and the radio was like, right. Oh, I think it's definitely related. I mean, Fish shows, I think, is another good example. I mean, I think Jimmy Buffett is a great example. I really do, because, like, he sells a beer related to his community. That's, like, bizarre. Like, that's not even, you know. And he has restaurants. Like, whatever. I think it's just that I think they're doing things that other people have done. I think this is a period of time in music especially where, and in other things, but I think music, you know, no one knows what to do to sell records at this point, you know? And so the idea that, you know, in the time of all these previous bands, you know, you could sell records pretty easily because that's the only way you're going to get music. I think a lot of people are trying to create, like, digital models, and so they seem to have created some sort of model that isn't digital but still works, and I think that's the thing that's sort of interesting and weird about them. And at the same time, being seen as a totally washed-up band. Like, I mean, earlier someone over there asked, like, are they still even putting out music? Like, is there any other band you can think of that you don't know if they're putting out music that makes $10 million a year? Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think Pearl Jam is doing a similar thing too. I mean, they're appealing to a totally different audience now than when they did in the 90s. And it's very much like, let's go to this frat party. And they have a beer with Dogfish Head. I mean, I think they're doing sort of similar things. Right. 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 See, I mean, I think they are political in that they're like, you know, they really hate racists. I think that's fairly political, especially when people consider the Midwest to be their heartland. And I'm not dissing on the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest. And I don't think the Midwest is their heartland. But they consider, I mean, suburban communities are really like their bread and butter. And they're all about hating racists, hating people. They really dislike people who hate gay people. They really dislike, I mean, I think those are political hot potatoes in their communities. And they are for a lot of things that are very like hearts and rainbows, you know, like don't be mean to people, but. See, I think that's another thing though. It's youth are not the people only buying this. Like most people at the gathering are not, they're old, as old as I am or older. They're in their 30s. So, I mean, I think that is an idea I had too, that like it's all, oh, it's just the new crop of teens who are into this. I think they definitely do aim at that, but I think it's somewhat like Stephen King in that, and they can make that comparison. And I do think it's the same, that you think, oh, that's trashy literature that only teens read. But when you look at the numbers, right. Right. Do you think that's because they make that choice for monetary reasons, or do you think that's because they think that if they support, but I mean, if they support a Democratic candidate, is that going to be a positive endorsement? I mean, I think anything they endorse. Right. But if I am Violent J, and I really want the Democratic candidate to win, I am not going to endorse him in public. I mean, I can only assume I'm not going to endorse him in public because that's not going to be a positive endorsement, right? If you really want them to win, I mean, if anything, they could go around and endorse the Republican candidate. Right, but I mean, I think this is a political thing. Yeah, that would, yeah. I think politically, I think they do stand for things. I think in Michigan, they're a bit more out about it. But it's things like poverty. It's not things like, I mean, if anything, I think they're doing political things by their actions, which is like giving tons of money and food to Michigan charities, which they do very publicly. Right. 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 But that's not, I mean, that's very positive for his user, his base. His base would like that. That's not anti his base. Yeah. I guess my feeling is like Ice-T is probably not going to support any politician publicly either. And I don't think that that's, I think he, again, I think he also knows, even though he's an elder statesman of rap, and on the Law and Order, that no candidate he wants to win wants like Cop Killer to be on his, you know. I think any band that is in rap especially is not, I mean, Kanye West, as political as he is, isn't going up for Obama. I mean, he's not. Right.
Isn't this the same thing as saying, yeah, our music is available, but
Right. Are you less violent?
But, yeah, I mean, the shows, it's still the same show, right? The show isn't any less than it was in 1997.
Definitely not. It's more, well, I mean, violent is a, no one, no Juggalo on Juggalo violence has ever happened at the gathering of the Juggalo. Yeah, so two people in the history of 12 years of together. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think fans of... Right. Agreed. I agree. I mean, I'm not saying any band is all 100% yay. But I think whether or not you're a good person, you know, whether or not you think they're good people, they are good businessmen, obviously. They have done something. Does anyone else have any questions? You. Yeah, they do have Twitter. Violent J tweets all the time, and they don't reply to a lot of tweets. They have tons. They let their fans do a ton of it. There's like a site for all of their videos that someone runs, but they do a weekly video cast on YouTube. You may, if you see it, it's guys at a news desk in clown makeup. It's awesome. And it's just like, what's going on in the world of Psychopathic this week? Like, again, it's that work hard. It's like, every week we're going to contact you and tell you what's going on in this awesome, fun format, you know, that you'll like. So it's just a news show. It looks like kind of like Sports Center, and it's just news. Yeah, so, and they have Facebook and obviously Juggalo Book. Yes. I think the Joker cards, the mythology is sort of over. So at the beginning, it was very much about that that mythology. And now it's definitely more about, it matured into a, like, you're probably a person who has a kid in a house. So a lot more of it is that community focused as opposed to that dark carnival. Let's talk about circuses and killing. I think there are some, one of the guys who contacted me was like, I'm not a Juggalo anymore because there's all these new Juggalos. So, you know, I mean, I think there is some, but there's more new Juggalos born every day. So with that, I have to end. So, but I'll be around outside and you can ask me questions.